What if one bad decision could lead to your undoing, wrecking your reputation, your career, and your family life in one fell swoop? Best-selling author Joseph Finder returns with another timely thriller, Judgment, a story about a female judge and the one personal misstep that could cost her everything. Finder has been praised as one of the best thriller writers in the business, and Judgment once again shows his trademark talent of crafting a very suspenseful tale that grapples with up-to-the-minute issues, including potential government interference by Russians, a plot point that threads ingeniously into the protagonist's predicament. There we go. The name of the new book is Judgment. It's a great pleasure to welcome Joseph Finder to the program. Good to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. So give us an idea of how this character, Juliana Brody, came to be.
Well, I have a judge friend I was talking to a couple of years ago. And, you know, when we see judges, we see them in the courtroom, but we don't really have a sense of what's going on behind the scenes. And so I began to talk to her about her personal life and the life in the chambers outside of the courtroom. And I realized that judges are actually quite vulnerable. They have to be really careful in their behavior. You know, they don't want to get a speeding ticket. You don't want to get a parking ticket. They've got to be careful because they're basically being judged by a higher standard. And I just thought, what would happen if a judge slipped up, like made a mistake, you know, did something wrong, slept with someone, had an affair, and turned out that innocent mistake, or maybe not so innocent, basically turns her life upside down. And it had to be a woman, by the way. Because I think that people are more judgmental about women in those situations than they are about men.
So you have had women protagonists before. I believe this is the second time you've done this?
I've a couple times, but it's been a while. It's been a long time since I've done a female protagonist. I think I'm basically more comfortable doing male protagonists because I'm a guy. But I knew this had to be a woman. So I did research. I'm married and I have a 25-year-old daughter, and so they're both strong women, and I spent time talking with them, as well as interviewing 5 different judges in Boston.
And what do they say? Like, what do you want to know from them?
Yeah, so I really wanted to get a sense of what their life was like at home, what it's like among their friends being a judge, and I wanted to... I wanted to sort of get a sense of what the pressures are on a judge, because in Judgment we have this female character, and everything's being thrown at her. She's just, her life is being turned upside down. I wanted to know what in the ordinary course of the day, what it's like for a judge, and I found that they were talking to me about things they did not talk to people about generally. They didn't talk to judges. Basically, when they make a statement, it's on the record, it's a legal-related statement. They rarely talk about their personal lives. So I wanted to get a sense of what their personal lives are like.
Is that, I mean, there is a point where all jobs are tough, but what to be a judge, I mean, that does say a lot about your personality, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're basically, judges are people who abide the system, who live by the rules, who tend to be people who don't get in trouble, tend to be very fastidious people. And they're often quite opinionated, but they have to hide their opinions in order to appear as even-handed as possible. So, yeah, there is a certain type of person that becomes a judge, and it's different from the average run of people. Judges are actually different personalities as a rule, I've found. I think so, anyway.
And that, I would think, makes it fascinating for you to write about one.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of the things I love doing is in my research is finding out about things that most of us don't know about. And in this case, although it seems small, getting the personal life, the home life of a judge, getting that down right, struck me as something that most people had not seen before.
So the judge is overseeing a case of sex discrimination in a tech company. This is a ride-hailing company called Wheels, very similar to Uber,
yep.
Very similar to Lyft. Give us a sense of what you can explore with that.
Well, yeah, that is actually based on a real case where, I mean, you know, Uber and other companies in Silicon Valley have been sued by women for sexual discrimination. And I think that what a lot of women are finding in these high-tech Silicon Valley companies, there is a culture which is sometimes called the bro-grammar culture, for programmer, bro-grammar culture, where basically it's very male-dominated, it's very masculine, and they tend to be very explicit with women in ways that women do not find appropriate and can find very uncomfortable. So I think that Silicon Valley is sort of discovering that there is sexism out there as well as the rest of the world. And I wanted to have a case where Juliana Brody had an opinion about it. She's kind of disgusted by what's going on, but she has to hide that. She's got to appear to be as even-handed as possible in the courtroom.
Let us talk about the Russia plot point here and what ultimately you wanted to explore and obviously the connection to what's happening in our world right now.
Yeah, this Judgment is a conspiracy novel. And as
like
I was
those.
Writing it,
yeah,
and I love conspiracy novels, and I've written a number of them. And one of the things I discovered is that a conspiracy novel feels more gripping to you if it feels like something that actually is happening, that actually might happen. And while I was writing the book, there was all this news about the Russian meddling in the 2016 election and the Russian meddling in Brexit and around the world. And I realized that there was a way to bring in Moscow into this courtroom in Boston that originally my character doesn't believe there can be a connection at all, but there turns out to be a connection.
And
I don't want to say too much about how that happens. I don't want to reveal too much of the plot point in the book.
No, I understand that. But it is eerie on the similarities, right? I mean, it is we're reading about this in our fiction. We're reading about this in the morning newspaper and on seeing it on television and listening to it here on the radio.
That's right. But don't forget, I wrote this book 2 years ago. So I was really predicting that we were going to see a world in which Russian oligarchs turned out to be really important in our political story, right? So what's an oligarch? Right, an oligarch is basically a rich Russian. And how'd they get rich? All these oligarchs got rich by stealing Soviet industries like aluminum or auto making or whatever it is. And they became billionaires by means of theft, and they were aided in this by Putin. And as a result, Putin has a deal with these oligarchs where basically they stay out of domestic politics in Russia, and he protects them. And I don't know how much Americans are yet familiar with the notion of oligarchs, but I came up with a fictional one who is wholly owned by Moscow. Basically, all of his money is really Moscow's money. And I based that on a theory of mine that, in fact, some of these oligarchs are really representatives of the KGB, or representatives of the Putin government, at least.
When you put all this together and Juliana goes to Washington to seek government help, she gets the brush off. The CIA, the FBI, the Justice Department, nobody wants really to take this case. How true to life is that, do you think?
Well, you know, I find that these days the FBI is being attacked and is in bad repute. The Justice Department is being attacked. And even in Washington, there's a reluctance to press sanctions on some of these oligarchs. There's one particular oligarch named Oleg Deripaska, who was very important, we're going to find out, in this the meddling in the 2016 election to try to help Donald Trump get elected. And this oligarch in particular is being protected by this administration. There was an attempt in Congress to override, to sort of, the sanctions on this guy have been lifted. And there was an effort in Congress to keep those sanctions on, which was recently defeated. I think that basically in Washington, a lot of people are intimidated by dealing with the Russians, and a lot of the government is sort of, I don't know, they're kind of neutralized. They're not going after Russians in the way they used to. They're afraid to.
When you consider these topics, and as we read about them in fiction, yes, it's fiction. Your job is to tell a hell of a story, in which you do brilliantly. I am interested in our interest, I guess psychologically, yep, of why you think we like this stuff, number one, and perhaps even need to read it as we're living it.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting question. I think that thrillers, the thriller was invented in England before World War I, and what it was, these thrillers were all about the English fear of being invaded by the Germans, and that the Germans might have agents within England. So it really started, thrillers started out as a way of exploring contemporary situations and fears. So, you know, there was the whole series of novels in the Cold War, where you had an American working against a Russian. We were sort of acting out this sort of superpower competitiveness. And we were also basically dealing with our fears. I mean, thrillers really deal with our fears and make them real. And I think it's a way, I think if we can read something scary and then survive it, it's a very thrilling and exciting thing for us. And it's sort of important in our society. So I think that people basically read thrillers because they want to be scared in a safe way.
And this is a safe way. But again, and back to the earlier point, but it does inform us too. It gives us some context to what we're living through.
I want when I read a book, I want to get something out of it. I want to learn something from it. So each of my books, I bring in stuff that I think the readers don't know necessarily. And I brought in stuff there about not just about the law and judges and about sexual harassment, but also about the Russians and the oligarchs and what's going on this really high level around the world.
The name of the new novel is Judgment. It is now out from Dutton. Joseph Finder, always a pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with the book and safe travels.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Joseph Finder's new novel is... We'll make the sound better. Joseph Finder's new novel is Judgment. It's published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.